Are the costs of having business meetings hitting your bottom line? Why not meet using Virtual Boardroom instead? ECN's Virtual Boardroom is a free teleconferencing service. There are no upfront costs and no monthly fees. All you need is a telephone. Virtual Boardroom enables you to conduct simple or feature-rich moderated call conferences. With no limit to the number of participants, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime. Visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN, lowering the cost of doing business.
This is Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. Hi, Candace.
Hey, Duncan.
More big news this week on the telecommunications front. FiberCo. We have a new fiber operator in South Africa.
Indeed, we do. Quite big news. Something that we broke earlier this year already, but now confirmed. Interesting enough.
Yeah, we speculated about it. The talks between Cell C Internet Solutions, which is a division of Dimension Data, which is now owned by Japan's NTT, and Andile Taba's Convergence Partners Group, Convergence Partners being Taba's investment vehicle, and really, really interesting initiative. So they've basically taken 33% each, these companies, and they're going to be deploying a national fiber optic communications network to that will compete with networks operated by the likes of Telkom and Broadband Infraco. They're going to roll out 12,000 kilometers in all in total eventually at a cost of about 5 billion rand. The initial phase will involve rolling out fiber between Johannesburg, Cape Town and Durban at a cost of between 1.5 and 2 billion rand, and then connecting that fiber network to submarine systems in Mtanzini, presumably there to the Seacom system and possibly to Easy as well. And then to Ezefontein and Melkbos Strand, north of Cape Town, where obviously the SAT-3 and WAX cables land, or will land. WAX, of course, coming on stream in the third quarter of next year. So a new national operator. I spoke to the new CEO, Arif Hussein, last night, and he provided some detail and some color on why they're doing it and why they believe that there is a market opportunity here, despite the fact that we've got guys like Infraco. Telkom's obviously got its fiber network in place already and has had for some time. And the fact that you've got MTN, Neotel, and Vodacom also deploying a national fiber network, in addition to some of the work that the guys from Dark Fiber Africa have done. So there's a lot of, a heck of a lot of fiber going in the ground, and this must only be good news down the line for consumers as well.
Absolutely good news. But really, Duncan, is there space in the market for yet another fiber player?
Well, my discussions with Arif Hussein, he suggested that the amount of demand for broadband that we're going to be seeing in this country in the next few years is going to require the sort of capacity that these guys are putting in the ground. There's 10 terabytes or more than 10 terabytes of terabits rather of international capacity being built at the moment. The argument from FiberCo is that there's going to have to be a national backhaul network to support all this international fiber and get it out into the cities and ultimately to consumers. So their view, and they're staking billions on this, is that indeed this is going to pay off. It's really interesting who's participating in this, though. First, you've got Andile Taba, who's the chairman of Dimension Data South Africa, and also a former director general in government of the Department of Communications. He's also controversially was a shareholder in Telkom through the Elephant Consortium, and he's unloaded that stake now. It's not known how much how much he made out of that, or how much is sitting in Convergence Partners can be used for this new project. But I'm sure there is a portion of it that can be used or pumped into this project. What's really interesting for me, Candace, is Cell C's involvement in all of this. As you know, they're rolling out a national wireless broadband network using a technology called HSPA+, talking really big things and talking about taking the fight to the bigger rivals, MTN and Vodacom, in the mobile broadband space. This sort of fiber backhaul network is really going to give them the transmission capacity they need to ensure that they can continue to deliver high-speed capacity to end users.
Also, a lot of the backhaul that's going on, or the national fiber networks that are going in outside of this project, are aimed at backhaul capacity for mobile operators or for operators in general. And the likelihood of it being leased, or at least leased at a reasonable cost, is not a very large likelihood. So it's good to see that there's a business bringing in the leasable backhaul fiber capacity, and definitely Cell C will benefit from both the actual fiber and possibly from the returns on the actual project. Are there any plans to maybe in the long term look at the last mile?
I did ask Arif Hussein from Fiberco for his views on that, and he said this is not the mandate of this company. They're not going to be deploying fiber to the home. But he did say that these sort of fiber projects and the sort of national backhaul capacity, it has to be in place first before service providers can look at providing FTTH. And he thinks that this capacity is going to may prompt not Fiberco, but someone else to look at doing this in future. Cell C's plans clearly are not in the fiber space. They want to use their third generation mobile network to deliver broadband services. But it'll be interesting to see if someone does start to look at fiber to the home as a viable proposition. Interestingly, the Fiberco company will be selling fiber directly to large corporates. So it's not like they're steering it. It's going to be staying out of the so-called end user space at all. They will be selling to the big business market, which I suppose is much more lucrative than trenching to the streets and laying fiber to people's homes, which can be very expensive indeed.
And direct competition to Neotel, which might be a good thing for competitive pricing.
Yeah, this is definitely a competitor to Neotel, which has its own network and also leases capacity on the InfraCo back, network. This, coupled with all the metro fiber that Dark Fiber Africa has put in, I think that we're getting the sort of telecommunications investment in infrastructure that's going to set the stage for South Africa, basically, to be awash in bandwidth 5 years from now and have the sort of cheap broadband that countries like in Southeast Asia and the Far East and Europe currently enjoy.
Internet Solutions, also an interesting partner in this situation there.
They are. IIS, of course, is part of Dimension Data, which is in the throes of being acquired by Japan's NTT, which is one of the biggest telco operators in the world. And this opens up all sorts of interesting possibilities. And I do wonder if, once this fiber is in the ground, whether IIS is going to look at leasing capacity on tower infrastructure somewhere to start to provide wireless services of their own.
Well, perfect timing for IIS if they're involved with Cell C and Cell C's latest tower sharing deal.
Absolutely. Well, as you know, Cell C has sold its towers, or the passive components of its towers. In other words, the components of its towers that are not the radio communications equipment. It sold its national network of towers in a deal worth almost 3 billion rand, 430 million US dollars, to a US company called American Tower Corporation. There'd been three companies bidding for this deal. Eaton Telecom was another one of them, formed by former Vodafone executives. We're not sure who the third bidder was, but ATC has been the successful bidder for this business. What it means, basically, and the good news for consumers here, is that ATC can now lease capacity either through deploying its own radio communications equipment or allowing other companies to deploy their own radio communications equipment on Cell C's towers, presumably where the towers actually support the amount of weight that's going to be added to them in terms of infrastructure. But it's really interesting because it will allow smaller players potentially to get into the market without having to incur that massive cost of putting up base stations all over the countryside, which is very expensive to do.
And very difficult, specifically with a couple of issues. You know, the high sites, the places where you put the base stations are becoming fewer and more expensive. Also, they take any number of months to roll out because of several ecological impact studies that have to be done before they can be erected.
Yes, in fact, it's very difficult, as I understand it, for any of the operators to deploy new tower infrastructure in parts of northern suburbs of Johannesburg and parts of Cape Town because the residents just refuse to allow it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a double-edged sword for residents because either they have the tower where, you know, they completely and firmly believe that there's possibility of becoming ill, or they have no coverage. So, you know, catch 22 for the operators. But an interesting deal nonetheless for Cell C as well, more for Cell C than anyone else because of the fact that they now have quite a chunk of money to put back into their debt structure. So
yeah, they have traditionally sat with a huge amount of debt, and they've slowly been working that down. There was a debt for equity swap done by the shareholders earlier this year, which reduced the debt levels by about half. And this should, by our calculations, reduce the debt levels by about half again. Although we don't know the nature of the debt they've raised from they raised in China recently through one of the Chinese banks, but certainly the balance sheet of Celsius is looking a lot healthier, and I'm personally getting more and more intrigued the more we see Lars Reichelt and the Celsi team do. I'm starting to think that they've got a very strategic long-term plan that we don't know the full extent of yet.
I completely agree, and this is something that I've said since the beginning, that there is definitely a long-term plan. There's definitely a long-term strategy, and it's playing out in a very interesting way at the moment. Celsi's joining of this FiberCo business, definitely a step in the right direction for Celsi. Mm. And you know, just all the moves over the last 6 to 12 months have been solid and good.
Yeah, I think the executives at Vodacom and MTN kind of looked at Celsi as this annoying little bug that was in the way or bothering them. I think now they're taking Celsi much more seriously, and they're seeing it as a serious competitive threat going into the future.
I'm not surprised.
Certainly from my discussions with senior executives at both MTN and Vodacom, they certainly do see Celsi as a much more of a competitor than they did a year ago.
Well, I mean, there's another advantage for them now with the asymmetrical interconnection rate. Cost for them will be, if they are granted the asymmetrical rate, they still have to apply for it. But if they are granted that, then, you know, there's another step in the right direction for Celsi.
Yes, yes, but that asymmetric rate will, of course, mean that calls made to Celsi, what basically means is Celsi will pay less for calls onto its network than the other way around. It's an asymmetrical situation where which will benefit smaller players in the market like Celsi, like Neotel and Fixed Lines, and like Telkom's ATO, it's a new mobile business.
Definitely.
Yeah, but you're right. They have to apply for permission to benefit from the asymmetry, and I'm sure the bigger operators are going to be questioning this legally. So we'll see where it goes.
But already Vodacom is having looking at estimates on how it will impact them. Their results were out this week, so there was some quite interesting information there. And they're looking at a possible 120 million impact if the operators at Telkom and Celsi are granted asymmetry.
That's an additional to what they're already expecting the impact to be. And that's on their earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization line, EBITDA.
That's the one.
basically a fancy term for operating profit. Yeah, in their results presentations for the 6 months, so I think it was to September 2010, they announced that the cut in interconnection rates or termination rates in March this year has already knocked 730 million rand off their top line and impacted their EBITDA line. I think, but the figure was 160 million rand.
If I remember 260 million.
260 million. That's right. Yeah. But that didn't stop Vodacom turning in pretty solid results. I mean, the operating margin has improved, and the company seems to be going great guns.
Oh, well, data also has just shot through the roof. It was such a surprise to see that Vodacom is now carrying more than 55%, well, on its network, more than 55% of its traffic is now data.
Data-related, yeah, as opposed to voice. That actually happened in the US last year, which shows that we're not that far behind, really.
It's great news for us. And mobile data, obviously, in South Africa has been one of the primary connectivity methods for a lot of the more underprivileged users. So it's really great news to see data skyrocketing the way it has.
And that's being driven by smartphone sales.
Apparently. I think 60% of all smartphones that 60% increase in the number of smartphones that they're selling at the moment. And I think 20% is the number that Peter Ace, Vodacom CEO, quoted as the number of smart new phones that they're selling now.
One in five devices that Vodacom now sells is a smartphone.
Well, as you know, I mean, the smartphone industry has really been growing over the last couple of years, and as you know, Vodacom had exclusivity on the iPhone for a couple of years until, in fact, this year. It's a really good market for Vodacom to be playing in, and it's interesting to see that we are catching up with the rest of the world.
Vodacom's Africa numbers outside of South Africa, they're coming under quite a lot of pressure there, though. I see the average revenue per user in some of their key markets has really come down quite dramatically. I was quite surprised to see that their ARPU, average revenue per user, in places like Mozambique and Tanzania has fallen to as little as 20, just over 20 rand a month.
Well, I think Vodacom is facing a serious pressure specifically in those two markets. Tanzania, I know, had serious price drops and heavy competition from new entrants and from more competitive entrants. So they had a huge tariff cut in those markets and are really facing the pressure. But PDA says that they're both markets are very elastic and they are recovering back to the normal revenues that they were expecting.
The price cuts have resulted specifically in Tanzania. Peter Asius, the Vodacom CEO, specifically said that that's resulted in price elasticity where the number of subscribers has jumped up to kind of match the fall in tariffs. And amazingly, what he said to us in an interview this week is that even at those 20 Rand, just over 20 Rand levels, they can run these businesses profitably, which is quite incredible.
It is quite incredible, but it's not a new model. I mean, you look at the likes of Bharti and Reliance in India, and they have similar low-cost, low-tariff models with high numbers of users, and that sort of keeps them going. It's a very different model to what we've seen in South Africa and in Africa until recently. Obviously, Bharti's entrance into the African market has stirred quite a shake-up there.
Good, and good news for Vodacom and all the other mobile operators is that the RICA, the Regulation of Interception of Communication and Related Something or Other Act, is going to be extended by 6 months. It still requires ratification by a number of parties, as I understand it, including Parliament. But that's going to be extended to June next year. So that's good news for both the operators and for consumers who haven't yet gotten around to RICA-ing and were looking at potentially having to do it this December over the Christmas holidays, because that was when their deadline was set for originally.
Well, it's typical of us South Africans, and I'm complete culprit because I have yet to RICA my account, so I should do that this weekend maybe.
Good. Well, we'll be back right after this break with more news.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are. And all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing. From Vox.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers. The internet. To put a man on the moon. Ignition sequence start. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual access. ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN, lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. So Candice, National Mobile has a new CEO. Tell us who it is.
Indeed. His name is Andy Baker, former Chief Operations Officer for Allied Technologies, or Altec. He left Altec, I think, in March this year, did a short stint as CEO at a printing business, and has now left to join National Mobile, but he will only actually start his position in March next year.
I take it that that he's only starting at National Mobile because he had some sort of restraint in place with Altec.
He must have.
That was the logical conclusion to draw from that. What's really interesting, of course, is that National Mobile, which is owned by Reutech, is a direct, probably the biggest competitor to Altec's biggest subsidiary, Altec AutoPage Cellular, the service provider company.
Indeed.
These companies go head-to-head in the market, and here's the former COO of Altec, who would have intimate knowledge of the Altec AutoPage Cellular business, heading off to head up National Mobile, its biggest rival. I can't imagine that has pleased Craig Venter, the chief executive officer of Altec, too much.
I doubt it. But on the other side of the coin, Altec over the next at least 6 months is guaranteed to change quite dramatically, specifically with the lower interconnect rate regulations that came in a few weeks ago, that will really change the way Altec Autopage Cellular's least cost routing business works, or at least they're going to have to get out of that. So, you know, there are going to be quite a few changes at Altec, but still, having someone with intimate knowledge of the business and its finances can't be encouraging for Altec to having a competitor.
Yeah, watch the space. Watch the space.
Indeed.
More cellular news this week, of course, was the ATA contracts, which have finally been launched. Telkom's ATA mobile business launched a couple of weeks ago, and they only introduced prepaid products at the time, and they're now getting into the contract market. They've got five. Contracts, I believe, Candice, starting at what is it, 90 rand a month and going up to, I think, 500 rand a month.
I think 99 rand a month to 500 rand a month. But they really launched this with absolute zero pomp and circumstance. There was no noise, no nothing. They sort of just came around the outside of this one and launched them without saying very much. The rates are you know, pretty average. They're not particularly mind-blowing. They're good and they're competitive, which I suppose is good enough. But I was hoping to see quite a lot more aggressive cuts from Telkom on these. Three new internet contract packages as well. Also, you know, okay, not great. They're pretty average.
Yeah, I was looking at these things and I was thinking, what is my incentive as a contract user to switch across to ATA and start to use these packages? I couldn't really see anything.
Well, I myself, actually, and I think I was more compelled by Telkom's prepaid offering, which seemed to have far more value for money than the contract offering. So I don't know. That's my opinion, and I don't want to be put on the spot. But for me, it's not something that I'm going to switch to.
Me neither. I don't really see the value. If I'm going to switch across to Telkom or to ATA, switch my mobile business across to them on a contract basis, then I have to have a really compelling reason to do so. And that compelling reason is almost certainly going to be very good rates. And
also, there's only one contract that sells per second billing. And that's a real winner for MTN and for Vodacom over the last couple of years, and really changed the way that voice contracts work. So to only have one out of the five offering per second billing, it's sort of, well, okay, and it's not particularly compelling one either.
Yeah, I must say I'm a little disappointed. I think Telkom is going to have to do better than this if it's going to win market share in the contract space. I mean, contract customers are not going to switch as easily as prepaid users. Prepaid is simple to switch. You just go and buy a new SIM card and plug it in your phone. On contract, I mean, guys don't want to lose their numbers. They need these. You can port your number, but it's a complicated process, and it's time consuming. So you really have to want to switch. I don't think ATA's quite got it right with these. I could be wrong, but I mean, let's watch the space. But
perhaps it does dictate exactly where Telkom's target market lies, specifically with ATA. And then obviously that's the prepaid space. Mm. I mean, there's some really compelling stuff there. Postpaid contracts, I don't think that that's their real target. And the number of contracts that have come out, obviously they've kept them simple, which was the guarantee from Telkom from the beginning, which is great. But, you know, a little bit more price definition would have been great.
Mm. Absolutely. I mean, even their internet contracts are not that compelling, I find. I mean...
No, and unfortunately for ATA, Cell C's contract offerings are very compelling.
Right now, Cell C, I mean, it hasn't launched in Joburg yet. It's supposedly launching in the next couple of days, 15th of November. Cell C's price points in the market right now are a no-brainer. If you're looking for mobile broadband, you'd be crazy to go to Vodacom, MTN, or ATA.
Absolutely. And then they're really pushing it aggressively and done a great campaign and working quite well. But unfortunately, ATA needs to, if they want to compete at that level, they need to bring in something more compelling, specifically on the data side.
Which is where people are looking for options and maybe more willing to try a new provider. Voice contract customers are much less likely to switch. And that's why churn rates, you see the operators publish churn rates, they're very low, 10%, 12% at most. In internet data, I think people are willing to shop around for a good deal.
Also, all these contracts are 24-month contracts, which, for me, if you're going to be compelling. If you're not going to be compelling on price, be compelling on service. So tell me, okay, fine, you can have a 3-month contract, you can have a 6-month contract, you can have a 12-month contract, or you can have a 24-month contract. Then it would have been a more compelling contract offering, because you're not locking me in, you're giving me options, you're giving me the choice to move or if I want to.
Mm.
But it just doesn't seem like they're interested in the contract phase.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, they're very clearly chasing the prepaid market. If you look at their advertising, and they're offering these incentives of you know, receiving free airtime for calls you receive, etc. And they're really punting this idea of the first 1 million customers. So I think they've got their target is to get to 1 million and then decide where next from there. It's going to be fascinating to see how well they do in this market, especially since they've got three well-resourced big competitors in the space. One doing incredible stuff in the mobile broadband space, and two others who are who've been in this market in the voice space for 15 years and have the resources and the balance sheet to really fight off any threat.
Not just that, they have the marketing muscle as well and the experience in the market to bring this stuff to bear.
Mm.
It just seems a little bit half-hearted, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, Telkom didn't even issue a press release around the new ATA contract prices, so we had to find them on the ATA website. I think they need to step up their game a little bit if they want to make a serious impact in this market.
Agreed.
Google voice search. In Afrikaans and Zulu. I think that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Great to see that as a linguist at heart, it was one of my majors when I was at university. Seeing the language barrier dropping on the internet is very exciting. So mobile voice search, so a little bit of a different space. But
that's pretty cool. I mean, I use mobile voice search on my Android phone all the time. You know, if I need to search the web while I'm on the go, I just hit the search button on the phone and speak to my phone, and it's brilliant. I mean, I can be in a noisy environment, and I can, and I'd say 75 to 80% of the time, it actually determines what I've said correctly, and finds my search results. I think it's awesome. Very often, I'm in a position where I can't actually type, or I just find actually speaking to my phone easier than typing on the soft keypad on the screen.
Well, what really is interesting, Duncan, is that about 53% of South Africa's population speak either first language or second language Zulu.
Mm.
That's most of the South African population. Mm. Afrikaans is actually next up on the highest...
Afrikaans is huge, yeah.
...largest spoken language in the country. So it's great to see that Google's taken note. Great to see that they're bringing in new and exciting languages to the South African market. They're really stepping up their game here, aren't they?
They're very keen on the South African market, and they always have been. It's actually pretty cool. I mean, South Africa was one of the first markets to get Google Street View, for example. And South Africa has always been an early stop for them on deploying their new services, which I think is fantastic. Because some of the other online software companies perhaps aren't as aggressive in rolling out their services just outside the states generally, but certainly not coming down to Africa. I'm thinking specifically of Microsoft, although they have stepped up their game lately with Bing, and they have introduced more services here like local maps and that sort of thing.
Well, it took them until last night to bring Xbox Live to the country.
Well, there's still a lot of markets without Xbox Live, but... the company that notoriously doesn't expand its online services here, and I wish they would, is Apple. They don't seem to think the world exists outside of Asia, Europe, and the US.
Yes, Blizzard also, the creator of the game World of Warcraft, is also not particularly interested in the South African market, although I'd like it to be more.
It's really cool that, Google set up a local cache server in Cape Town, rumored to be in the Internet Solutions data center. And, you know, they are working actively on the ground here and bringing services. And the Zulu and Afrikaans voice search is just another sign of that. And I think it's very cool. They did point out, though, in their press release around the voice search service, that the Zulu search product is still very much in beta testing, so don't expect it to work 100% just yet. I don't speak Zulu personally, unfortunately, otherwise I would have tested it out, so I can't vouch for how well it works. But apparently the Afrikaans one is pretty good.
It would have been entertaining to be a fly on the wall when we wrote that story, because we specifically looked for a Zulu headline, so
yes,
us on the phone to our Zulu friends, so you should have been around to hear that. It was fun.
Yeah, great. But I'm actually going to my Afrikaans probably isn't that great either. But I'm going to give it a bash a bit later and see if I can search for some Afrikaans terms on my Android smartphone, and see what it comes back with.
Let me know.
Good. Well, that's half an hour into the show, so I think we should probably call it there. But before we go, just want to alert our listeners to a new event that we're going to be hosting later this month in Johannesburg. It's called the Tech Central Tuesday Tipple. We're hoping to do this on a quarterly basis, so this will be the summer 2010 one. And the idea really is nothing fancy, just get together, the two of us, myself, Duncan, and Deputy Editor Candace Jones, in a venue in Johannesburg, and just meet up with some of our readers and just talk tech and geek out for a while, and maybe have a few beers or glasses of wine, and rap about the latest developments in the tech industry. We're thinking about it. We may have a special guest or two, perhaps a speaker, but we want to keep it pretty informal and relaxed. We will be giving away an iPhone 4, courtesy of MTN. So if you're keen to win that, be sure to check out the invite on the Tech Central website, and hopefully we'll see you there. We're doing it at a pub in the Bryanston area north of Johannesburg called the Brazen Head. If you're keen to join us there, we'd love to meet you and have a beer with you. So check it out on the website, and hopefully we'll see you there. As I said, that's all the time we have for this week. So let's call it there, Candace. We'll chat to you again next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.